Holy moly, I've got a very important message from Zane Shaw. He's got a podcast. You're listening to Save Your Bacon with Zane Shaw and Will Palumbo. Don't lose your bacon. Get Zane and Will shaken.
Welcome back, Save Your Bacon, the Vice Comedy Podcast, where we think we're helping. My name is Will Palumbo.
My name is Zane Shaw. Hey, everybody. It's the Christmas month. It's the month of the massive Christ, is what it comes down to. That's what
I think your excitement for Christ was just so... It was just so explosive that cut out and I couldn't hear what you were saying.
My excitement for Big Christ.
It's the big one this year, Zane.
It's
you know
the
why?
Big one. Why?
I was just wondering if you knew. You said it was big.
This is the big kahuna. This is the one where Christmas gets even Christmassiver.
Hold on, sorry. Hey guys. When it goes good with the holiday spirit,
what?
Kombucha.
Yeah.
Zane, chipper up, my man. Get yourself out of the dumps. Just because you had one bad kombucha doesn't mean that I can't drink good kombucha, all right?
If you want
good kombucha, come on down to Big River Kombucha in Winona, Minnesota. Now, I'll let you know, folks, I don't have Big River Kombucha this week. I do have store-bought kombucha because I have I cope with kombucha, and I had to get something because I was gone. I was visiting my parents, yes, for last weekend, and did not get to get my fix. And so today, I can't show you anything. This is an audio.
Oh, no.
This is an audio format, but.
Here he sip.
So this is Gingerade by Synergy. It's just not as good.
What you just said
it's
is a combination of words that is should not be the title of a drink. Gingerade by Synergy.
What do you mean? That's what it is.
That sounds like pure spiritual air.
It sounds like someone
lit a bunch of incense in a circle,
and
then the smell of ginger was in the air, and you somehow drank that as a liquid.
I'm, like, roiling in pain with how much worse this is than Big River Kombucha. Once again, this is not a sponsored ad. I just enjoy them greatly and don't like any other kombucha other than them for the most part. Call me whatever you want, but the kombucha is the best around if you go to Big River Kombucha. I still think it's so weird how, like, half of our beginning sequences are me just talking about one brand of kombucha. But still, it always, like, oh, well, I have to. Yeah, so this stuff isn't very good. It's too much, like, vinegar just dipped in sugar sort of idea, and it's just not pleasant. You can taste a strong ginger. Like, there's just a ginger plant growing at the bottom of my cup. But
Will, did you actually just bite into a ginger plant?
That would be better, I think. I think that would be more pleasant to the sensories. But, yeah, that's all. No, happy Christmas times to you all.
Mm-hmm.
It is cold, and my gym has closed its doors for 20 days because that's what Minnesota does during these times, which is fine. I get it, but
it's
man,
the
I can't even go
12 days of Christmas
the
and the 20 days of no gym.
Yeah, 12, you've heard of 12 Days of Christmas. Get ready for 20 days of no gym and me forgetting to cancel my membership throughout those 20 days.
On the first day of no gym, my gym gave to me nothing. It's closed.
But it did give me a bill. It did give me a $55 bill for the
bill.
Month. On
I'm
the first
fool.
Day of no gym, I got a $50 bill, which almost sent me into overdrawing from my bank account. But that's another story. So here we are. Welcome back. Hey, Zane, you know, speaking of overdrawn bank accounts, how are we doing for our Save Your Bacon account right now? I know that Anchor keeps track of how much money we make.
Let's just say that Massive Christ came early because we've hit a whopping $3.30.
Okay. I thought it was higher last time.
I did too.
375.
Also, for any first-time listeners, when I just said that, I want you to know, since we've moved our podcast to anchor.fm, that's...
Been like 10 episodes?
That's... Oh, man.
Like
I think
that.
We moved
10,
around episode 20-something.
Mm-hmm.
So I think half of our show so far has been on Anchor. I might
sure.
be wrong, and I'm the one that's doing the podcast. No matter what, my point is... This isn't $3.30 for the last episode. This is $3.30 since we've been on Anchor. So, just
so we're
to
talking
clarify.
Like 15 cents per episode, which is honestly pretty stellar.
Yeah,
I didn't think
really
I'd
is.
Be making this kind of money. That's like a coffee without a tip. So, anyways, thank you for joining us. This is an Advice Comedy Podcast. I might have said already, not quite sure, but we're here. Welcome, Zane. Do you have a question for us?
I do. And I wanted to ask something to kick off Christmas time season. It's a little bit in the holiday spirit. And we all know that there is nothing more spiritual than vegetables. So let me get right
okay.
to it. All right. Okay. This question comes from the Hylian noob. And the question is, where the fuck do beans come from? Like,
yeah, what's up with that?
Like, honestly, do they grow on trees? Where the hell do they come from?
Do you know the answer?
I wish I did. I don't. I'm lost. My problem is,
man.
I'm thinking of beans soaking in a tin can, and I'm thinking that's where they originate.
Soaking in a tin can. Well, yeah. So you take the tin can,
yes.
and you plant it empty,
yes.
and then you wait throughout the whole harvest season, and by the time October comes, you just kind of jump on it with a lid and contain it within and just shove as many as you can in there before closing it.
It's exactly like, you know how in March around St. Patrick's Day, people would be like, all right, if I get to the end of a rave, stop drinking the bad kombucha, bro.
Oh, it's so bad.
If I get to the end of a rainbow, CPOT, goal, whatever, stop drinking the bad kombucha.
I can't stop. The only reason you want me to stop is you can see my face, the face I'm making.
If you get to the end of a rainbow, you see pot of gold, you see leprechaun, you think, I'm going to catch that leprechaun. This is the time to jump on this. This is my moment. So when you get to bean harvest season around end of October, that is the time where the beans all like to congregate within tin cans buried in the ground. It's like rabbits go to rabbit holes. Beans go to tin cans.
And you might be thinking to yourself, Will and Zane, but leprechauns are so much more expensive than beans. I know.
Mm-hmm.
Beans have become domesticated over the years. There's way more beans than there are leprechauns. And the thing is, you also pretty much get the pot of gold with you when you get the leprechaun. You don't get that when you get beans. And so they sell for cheaper. Yes, you can get a can of beans for 49 cents at Walmart. Mm-hmm. But, like, I mean, it's not that hard at this point. They kind of give themselves up.
It's exactly like unicorns and horses, right? Like, unicorns, more expensive, not as easy to get. Horses, you can also get for 49 cents at Walmart.
Yeah. If we were playing Word Masters analogies, it would be horses to unicorn as beans is to leprechaun, I think.
Beans are the non-mythical version of leprechauns. Beans are just domesticated leprechauns.
Domesticated leprechauns.
There's a problem here. Just one dilemma.
Yeah.
And that is, so domesticated horses we keep as pets. Domesticated leprechauns we keep as food?
You haven't eaten a horse?
Oh, no. Have you ever taken care of beans?
Raised them. I mean, I've raised some beans. Yeah, I plant my tin cans every spring.
What do you think about Bush's baked beans? What do you think about that dog that wants that recipe? That, like, now I'm thinking, like, does that dog, what would that dog do if it caught a leprechaun? Would it be like, oh, now this is my kind of beans?
Hold on. I think the Bush's Baked Beans dog died recently.
No!
Yeah.
No!
Oh,
it is
yeah.
very against the Christmas season to say
no.
a dog died.
Oh, it was over 2 years ago. But I mean, still,
no.
that's so sad. I remember
Why?
Hearing about it and it being a big problem.
Why are you
this
doing
this? This is July
Will?
3rd, 2018.
What are you
CBS
doing?
News. CBS News literally reported on this. One of the dogs. Oh, there are multiple. We're fine. The legacy continues. There's multiple dogs. Yeah, screw that one dog in particular that died before the baked beans recipe could get passed on to a worthy dog.
You know how, like, all dogs go to heaven makes you think what pizza tastes like? Maybe this is like Wimbush's baked bean dog goes to heaven, you think? what would dog do if it caught non-domesticated beans, a.k.a. leprechaun?
Yeah, what does the bush dog do special to its beans, do you think?
That's the real good question, because there's something in it. There's something that makes them the best of domesticated leprechaun.
They are better beans. Okay, so you know when you plant your tin cans, you put like a marinade in there. I put Thousand Island dressing personally, because like I told, that's just the universal, the omni marinade, right?
I use Sweet Baby Ray's barbecue sauce.
And I think that might be closer to Bush's dogs. I think those dogs got the sauce right when they plant their tin cans, is all I'm saying.
All right, so it all comes down to the sauce in which you lubricate the tin can prior to insertion into ground.
Yeah, last season I also tried porkin.
So that I could get porkin beans. Porkin. All
right. That way I can get pork and beans in October.
Oh, very good. Very good bit, Will. Very cool.
Thanks. It was extra good when you cut me off halfway through to start singing about porkin. thanks for the alley-oop on that delivery.
Of course. That's why I'm here.
So, yeah. What was the question?
Oh, yeah. Just very simple. Where the fuck do beans come from?
We did it, and we explained where the different kinds of beans, because there are the three different kinds of beans. There are bushes, kidney, and subterranean, which are the ones that you have to have the whole tin can like submerged in the dirt for it to grow.
Very true. Very true.
Those ones don't like the sun. But anyways, I have a question for you, Zane.
Very good. Ask it.
Okay. So this question comes from Jed Craner. And Jed Craner says, is cheese just a loaf of milk?
Whoa. Wait, yes.
That makes me never want to have cheese, I'll tell you what.
Well, join the club of a
bud
like
that
cheese?
Can't...
Well, I have this thing with my body where if I eat it, and I say, oh, that's good. My body says, what are you talking about? And then makes me sick for hours.
you don't do the cheese anymore?
I don't versus I shouldn't. I will eat pizza all the time. It doesn't affect me with pizza. But if I ate like mac and cheese, that's going to hit me.
So it doesn't bother you with pizza.
Right.
But it has cheese in it.
Yeah.
So is it the quantity of cheese?
I think it's either the quantity of the cheese or the bake technique of the cheese.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you can still enjoy your DiGiorno, but the question is cheese just a loaf of milk?
That
kind of just reminds you of like a baking thing. That's how we make cheese too, right? We bake the milk.
I actually have no idea. I have no idea how you make cheese.
I do not as well. Wow, we kept on getting questions asked to us that we just have zero expertise on.
I like how confident we are in how you make beans, but somehow the thing in which I'm pretty sure you just like, I was going to say churn it, but isn't that how you make like cream?
Butter.
That's how you make butter, yeah, right? See,
keep going. Maybe the butter is the halfway between milk and cheese, you know? Like it's the sub cheese. It's not quite hard. It's not quite liquid.
It's just letting you know, like, you're on your way. And then someone was like, someone thought they got to that finish line and they were like, this is cheese. And someone was like, but, I don't know. And someone was like, you know what? We'll just call it, but, And they're like, that's
we're
little
nearly
weird.
There. My arms are sore. Now it's butter. Let's put it on bread.
Why isn't that the slogan? Butter for when your arms are sore.
For when your arms are too sore for cheese.
Butter. It's almost right.
It's almost cheese. Butter, it's almost cheese.
You make an almost pizza, it's unmixed
tomatoes. Oh, it's just
tomatoes,
butter on top.
Butter and uncooked bread dough.
I mean, maybe that's what you can put in the oven to replace your cheese with.
Oh, man. Interesting.
But I honestly couldn't tell you what cheese is. It doesn't happen in the wild. We know this.
Yeah. It does not grow.
That one I can say confidently. It does not grow in the wild. I do not find cheese dogs or cheese plants. I think it's milk based for
it
sure.
It is for sure milk based.
But it almost reminds you of like milk chocolate versus dark chocolate, where milk chocolate is made out of milk, but dark chocolate ain't, you know?
So I think in order to make cheese, and this is just a guess, not directions play by play off of Google. I think it's you acidify milk and then and again, this is just a pure guess.
Spit
you
it
acidify
out.
Acidify milk.
Spit it out.
And then you add a coagulant.
Like what, Zane? Anything.
Right off the brain, an ellipses comes next. A dot, dot, dot. So then next, it would be a test for gel firmness, which is something that I never actually wanted to hear is in the process of making cheese, a gel firmness. And then after that, you cut the curd, which is what I did with bad high school friends. When I was moving on to college, I cut the curd.
You cut the curd clean off, yeah. I've done that a couple times.
You stir, cook, and wash the curd, and then you drain the curd, so I don't know why you stir, cooked, and washed it if you're just going to get rid of it. And then cheese.
Well, I feel less smart now, but...
I actually feel like I know less about how to make cheese.
I am glad that we didn't look it up and find out there are cheese dogs just roaming around in the wild, and I've just been too oblivious to find and see them.
Let's put it this way. Off of what you were just saying about, like, the glad we didn't find the cheese dogs or whatnot. Obviously, there is a domesticated and non-domesticated version of cheese. That is the sake. So what we're answering right now, loaf of milk, because it's cheese. That's the domesticated version of cheese because that's homegrown. You've got your cool cow friend that's like, I'll hook you up with the ingredients. And then you do XYZ, which I don't have to explain because we all know how to make cheese. And then you've got loaf of milk. That's domesticated cheese.
Loaf of milk is domestic.
If you get cheese from Moon up in Sky, that's the leprechaun of cheese.
That's the wild cheese that's worth more. I mean, Moon Rocks go for quite a bit. We all know those have just been repurposed from cheese to collectible Moon Rock.
Right.
It's really too bad when moon rocks go moldy and you gotta toss them in the garbage, huh?
It's real bad when the whole moon goes moldy and we have to replace the moon.
It's just a matter of time at this point. They say the sun will explode in 5 billion years. We got like 36 days on cheese moon.
Anybody that ever wonders what's happening during a new moon, that is us replacing the moon with a new moon because the moon has molded.
Yeah, it creates a lot of jobs for Americans, though, I'll tell you what.
That's very true.
Zane, I still can't help but think about the baking process of milk to cheese.
It's a lot to handle in my head. It really is.
Yeah. How do they make cheese powder, too, huh?
I assume you have to get to cheese first and then powder
I think they just take essence of cheese and put in flour-like substance in order to make powder. Because I couldn't tell you what that powder is. I really do not think it's cheese. I don't think you can dehydrate cheese in that way. It's too rubbery of a substance to just, like, pop into powder somehow,
cheese
right?
Concentrate?
Cheese concentrate? I mean, I've never heard of that, you know? Well, essence of cheese, though. I believe.
Essence of cheese. So this...
There's essence of everything. All the smell doctors will tell you. If you want to make like a scent, you want to make like a perfume, a candle, something like that, you just need essence of something.
If we're going to...
That's how Ethan Klein made his essence of butthole candle that sold out within 24 hours.
If we're going to call cheese a loaf of milk, does that mean that anything else that has cheese in it is essentially just a form of another version of milk? So like, is cheese powder essence of milk powder?
Well, I mean, yeah, cheese is milk. It used to be milk.
That's true.
All cheese is milk.
All cheese is milk. All cheese goes to milk heaven.
Yeah, absolutely. And that reminds me of DiGiorno. Okay, yummy. Zane, another question from you,
very
please.
Very good. All right, let me get this question ready to go for you. This is a good one. This comes from Camera Lag.
Oh, my goodness. Would you look at the top?
Wait, do you hear that?
I know. Isn't that insane?
Do you hear that? Oh, heavens to Betsy. It's Christmas time. Hi, welcome to a new segment for December. I like to catch
you. You told me we weren't having
I know. I wanted to catch you off guard. This is a segment where, as always, we have to get Christmas gifts for our friends, family, loved ones. Will, stop drinking the bad kombucha.
I just wanted to be gone.
So, I'm here to help you out.
I have four drinks in front of me. They're all open. I have two LaCroix unfinished. I have coffee, because I thought that would make me happy for once. And then I have the bad kombucha.
Your desk is a mess of taste.
It's decently organized, but it's just a lot. I have to keep, like, alternating between them. Do your
Anyways,
bit, sorry.
This is where I come in to help you out. Find cool Etsy gifts that helps individual creators making great gifts that you can give to friends, family, and loved one. And today's creator that I am talking about is Brooklyn B. Candle Co., who makes great Christmassy candles for any occasion. What kind of occasions am I talking about? Well, Will, stop me when you hear one that you like. This candle's called Ride Me Like Rudolph.
That one. I was going to say pause no matter what because I like all candles, but now I feel like I kind of like look like a horn dog because I said this one very quickly. I was going to say stop no matter what. I just didn't expect that.
Do you have comments, questions, concerns about Ride Me Like Rudolph?
What does it smell like?
It says, warning, contains the following, it contains the following shit.
Is this word by word? I want to get on this website, too. What is it called?
Etsy.
Okay. What is it?
Warning.
What is it called?
Warning, contains the following shit. Toys, reins, whips, and chains.
What?
It contains toys, reins, whips, and chains, and it's handmade by wizards.
Okay.
All of these.
I'm into this. Can you remind me once again, what was the name? Just plug it one more time
Brooklyn
so I can find it on Etsy.
Brooklyn B. Candle Co. This is a real candle company on Etsy that you can go and get candles from. Let me just read off a couple other ones. All right. This one's great. I'm Frosty the Snow Bitch. Come and play with me.
That's the name of the candle?
That is the name of the candle. That is beginning to end.
Okay, good.
Warning, that one contains the following shit. Super hot, horny chick with sexy lady lumps.
Okay, I did find it now. I'm on it.
I got another.
I found one called You Work Harder Than an Ugly Stripper.
Very good. This one is called When This Candle's Lit, Give Me That D. So that you've got a very good indicator to your loved ones or friends and family.
Easy nonverbals. Easy nonverbals for the bad communicators.
That one contains big dick energy. So be careful with that one. Then there's also one that I appreciate that says, light after poop. JK, don't touch my fucking candle. That one contains privacy, magazines, and potpourri. Which is actually great. Private okay, magazine potpourri. Good. That scent altogether creates a loving environment that smells great, but also tells you do not enter.
I found one that says, please don't do coke in the bathroom.
That's another one. See, these candles are good indicators of what to do, what not to do, who to do. Like this one that's light me when you want a blowjob. And that one says that contains that wet ass mouth. Oh, good.
This is the first episode that I like really hope some people I know don't listen.
But then there's also like a really sweet candle, like I hate fucking everybody but you, and that one contains a tiny piece of my heart. And see, I'd give that one to Will.
Yeah, I was gonna say, Zane, if you're looking for something to get me, I actually non-ironically love getting candles for any sort of thing because that's always my, like, don't know what to get me? Give me a candle. I will be satisfied.
Exactly.
I'm low on candles. I had like 30 like 6 months ago, and then COVID got me lighting a lot, you know?
What? So, which one of these candles do you think you prefer the most? Do you want the one that says that
I want you to choose. I don't want to go to the store and pick out my presents.
That's true. That's true.
Dog.
That's true. All right. Plug your ears for a second. I'm going to tell the audience. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get...
I'm going to take up the headphones. You just motion me when you're ready, okay?
Yeah, I'm going to get Will. I'm going to get Will the one that says, happy fucking birthday. Because it's eco-friendly, it's vegan, it's cruelty-free, which are all things that Will are. Will is eco-friendly. Will is vegan. Not vegan. He is vegan. As in, he has began to think about becoming vegan. And
yeah, just give me a motion.
He's also... He's also very free of cruelty, which I appreciate. This also says that it's handmade. Oh, let me zoom in. Handmade somewhere in upstate New York while not giving two fucks. Which Will was also made somewhere upstate New York while his parents were also not giving two fucks. So happy fucking birthday prematurely to Will.
All right, I'm putting him back on. This is too long.
There you go.
Hello.
Will's back.
Hey, great bit.
Thank you.
We like supporting small businesses. You can find these guys once again on Etsy at Brooklyn Bee Candle Co.
Mm-hmm.
They have a bunch of candles. They look really nice, and they'd make really good gifts for people who actually have a sense of humor for once. So, yeah. Good bits, Zane.
Thank you, man.
Ready for metal stuff?
Yeah, go ahead. Do the metal.
Fantastic. I just wanted to say, hey, welcome to metal stuff. We're so glad you made it this far. Oh, good. You haven't skipped it. All right, fantastic. Zane, go ahead and take it away. What do you want to tell us?
Oh, goodness. If you want to ask us any questions at all, you can ask them on any social that we have, which you can find on anchor.fm, but you could also email them to us at saveyourbaconpodcast@gmail.com. One more time for the GVSs, that is saveyourbaconpodcast@gmail.com. We appreciate anybody and everybody who listens, who shares, who gives us questions. Also, like I said before, our podcast is on anchor.fm. You can find socials there. I'm pretty sure that if you have an account, you can send us messages on there. I think maybe voice messages too. I know you can also support us on anchor.fm. And it's an easy way to find out which platforms you can also listen to us on, such as iTunes, Spotify, stuff like CastBox, like the third party stuff as well. And on top of that, I lost my train of thought. Which is, I guess that really is on top of that. So I'm just going to keep rambling on. we love every single individual that listens to us every episode. And we plan on giving you a lot this Christmas month. So stay tuned for a lot more bacon. And with that in mind, here is a word from the sponsor known as the platform that we're on. All right, this question, as I mentioned, comes from Camera Lag. And the question is, if my cat and I were both immortal, given an infinite amount of time, would I be able to establish complex communication with him? Furthermore, could he outsmart mortals after thousands of years of training? Does he have the intellectual capacity to learn human knowledge in an infinite amount of time?
Brain too small.
Brain too small for cat?
Or would head small, look at it. Look at it, head small.
Head small, brain small.
Small brain, yeah. Too small brain for big thoughts. I do think cats outsmart people all the time because they quick on four legs and whatnot.
And if you drop their bodies upside down from a high enough area, they'll flip.
Gravity works on them weird, yep.
Yeah.
And but have you seen, do you know who, what's his name, Bunny? Bunny the dog? You ever heard of Bunny the dog?
I've not heard of Bunny the dog.
So Bunny the Dog is an account on TikTok, which is probably why you haven't heard of it, that is like has like 60 different buttons on the ground that she can hit, and they all mean words. And the dog kind of understands what all of them are. So she literally talks with the owner.
Oh, my God.
Like this is – yeah. So dogs, and I would assume cats, because cats are, you know, just about as equally as smart, if not smarter. I'm not sure. Should eventually be able to. This dog's only like 10 months old, and it's like telling the cat to shut up, or like asking like, did you poop today, or being like looked in the mirror and said, who's that,
Oh my god.
Like existential sort of stuff, which is what they say is what you need to like have real sentience, right? If you can look at yourself in the mirror and be like, that's me, that's when you know that you're sentient. And so it's like really close. Like the dog is like looking in the mirror and being like, who's that? And then it'll get confused and like walk away.
That makes total sense as to why, like, you'll see a cat looking in the mirror at a reflection of itself, and it'll get territorial, and it'll, like, paw at it, and it'll hit it. That being said...
But it thinks it's another cat, yeah.
That being said, when it asks the question, who's that, do you think over infinite amount of time it would learn who that is, or it can't at any point comprehend?
And in a serious note, it matters how early you get to teaching the cat, I think. That's the most valuable thing, because mm-hmm. they learn from Bunny. The fact they started when, like, it was like a puppy, it was just a part of the training.
Yeah.
Of, like, the dog is, like, the same way you teach a dog to poop outside, the same thing you tell the dog to hit the button to go outside when it wants to go outside, and now it knows that button means outside. It knows this button means mom. It knows this button means love you. It knows this button means give me scratches. Like, it literally came in one time from a walk and said, like, I'm hurt, like, something's bothering me, and put up its paw at the owner, and sure enough, there was, like a little wooden, like big sliver in its paw. And it kept on, like, hitting the button for, like, something's wrong, and then giving the hand until she figured it out. Like, the dog seriously knows what it's doing, and it's, like, figuring out, and they add more buttons all the time. It's, like, the coolest thing ever. This like, is... I am, like, glued to it. It's, like, better than reality TV,
this
no joke.
This is one of the most heartwarming things that I've heard all year. This is phenomenal.
I know.
Because
I know.
Everybody loves the idea of being able to communicate with man's best friend. Being able to communicate with their animals because they're so cuddly and they're so lovable, and the thought of being able to find a way to properly communicate with them is phenomenal. And so in a very non-joking way for your question, do I think that you'd be able to establish complex communication with them? Yeah. I think, as Will said, mm-hmm. it does mm-hmm. come down a little bit to how early you start training them, because I've heard multiple things about when the brain's best windows for humans, for when to learn are. I've heard some people that I listen to say once you've hit the age of 27, you're pretty much like if you haven't learned three different languages that you want to learn, it's going to be a lot harder from that point on. But then I also know that when you're just younger, like if you wanted to learn Spanish and you were like 4 years old and it's just part of your upbringing that you're kind of learning Spanish along with English, all of a sudden once you're like 20 you're gonna know both languages fluently. So mm-hmm. that being said, the younger the cat is or the dog is when you try and establish this communication method, the easier it will be for the cat or dog to understand as it grows older. And over time, adding more buttons, I think you'll eventually be able to have whatever kind of conversation you want with it.
I think the real question here is, if you have a cat that lives forever, is it automatically at adulthood when it's born and therefore hard to teach? Or is it never fully grown because it'll never die and therefore it'll always be super, like, teachable?
In order to do...
That is what you need for this question.
This is such a good question, but I want to add on to that. We're saying, because in this question, he says, if my cat and I were both immortal. So, mm-hmm. in this situation...
Are you a baby or are you an old man?
Do you, because we've never expressed the specifications within this scenario of like, do you start at 1 year old and then you never age because you're immortal? But like, if you age infinitely, does your body deteriorate also as you're going, but you're just alive? Do you like hit your mid-20s and then you stay the concept of your mid-20s forever? Like, when does yeah. your body stop growing? So when does the cat stop growing / where does it begin? That is such a good question.
Yeah. Eternal kitten sounds nice. But yeah, Bunny the dog would like just like walk up to these buttons on the ground and just be like, love you, mom, and then just like walk away like all the time. Like when there's a plane overhead, it'll hit like concerned bird. And that'll be like, whoa, you're concerned about the big metal bird. That's so wild, you know? Like, stuff like that. It's so cool. So I think you could, unironically, because I've been thinking a lot about Bunny the dog recently.
Unironically, just so I know, if the owner asks Bunny the dog a question, will it respond? Or does it simply
yes.
just know one way? Oh, it, okay, knows how to have a two-way conversation.
No, yeah, she has to, like, really simplify the way that she asks questions. But, yeah, she can, like, ask questions of, like, where's your ball? And then he'll, like, Bunny will just go chase after the ball, you know?
Amazing.
Or, I mean, like, that stuff sounds basic, but we're already, like, trying to have really basic conversations with dogs. Everybody tries to have basic conversations. Usually it's, like, one word, but this owner is able to get, like, full sentences without, like, a lot of, like, filler words in there. So it's just, like, right now she's trying to teach the concept of time. Of, like, what is yesterday, what is today, what is tomorrow, what is morning, what is afternoon, what is day, what is night, you know? And she's, like, you can see her processing, like, the dog, like, processing, like, trying to figure out, like, night soon when it's day, or afternoon now, or earlier morning. And it's just, like, so interesting. And she's, like, super confused by it all because it's a dog brain. It's small brain. Back to small brain. It's hard. It's small, just really cool.
Small Anyways. Brain, but, like, big... big discoveries.
Big heart. Big Small heart. Brain, big heart. Okay, Zane, I have a question for you.
Ask away.
Okay, fantastic. Hey, Zane and Will, as a part of training for an intramural sport I do at my college, I was told to do 100 jumping jacks 3 times a day. The only problem is that I live in an apartment in an old building, and I was told to my landlord by my landlord that the people downstairs of me have a newborn baby. I don't like the idea of driving to a park in town just to jump, and it's super cold where I live. I'm very afraid I'll shake the ceiling of my neighbors by having a 330-pound man jumping and being a bad neighbor. What do I do?
I was going to say something about this is intensely relatable until I heard 330-pound man and realized I'm like a third of that. But because I recently just tried to get a bunch of like exercise level games on my Nintendo Switch, and there's a free game that is it's so simple, but it is nice, and it's quite literally just a free game that is a jump rope that you just can jump rope daily, and then
how is that a game?
Because you just exercise, you just jump rope, and then it keeps track of how much you've jumped the
rope. This sounds like the kind of game that'd be like, oh look, it's the free stuff they offer on the what is it that you have? The Nintendo Switch?
Yeah.
I don't even know how that would track that sort of stuff, but I'd be like looking on the Nintendo Switch free thing and I'd be like, oh look, I can jump rope in the not real life, and then it would track it for me. I gotta watch being like, oh, it'll track how much I run and stuff. I still gotta run for it to work though, you know what I'm saying?
I said it was like, free, yeah.
I know. I'm just saying like it's interesting because you could just also buy a jump rope.
I could, but it's also a lot easier that I have, it's like that, and then the Wii Fitness Boxing, and then I'm just going to say this, and I know Will's going to judge me for these, like, I love the Just Dance games, because I love dancing, and that's also mm-hmm. active, and then one of my favorite games is on the Xbox, it's called Disney Fantasia Evolved, which is where you, like, compose music and combine the music. Anything that is, like, movement-based games like that, I'm really into.
Yeah, and I've been trying to convince you to get VR, and so I'm not judging you for it. Yeah. It's just the jump rope one in particular. I'm like, sounds a whole lot buying a non-electronic rope. But
jump rope costs money. I already have Switch, and then jump rope on
that's
Switch
free. Rope costs money. You're right.
Yeah. That's a good enough argument. But then
Switch doesn't cost money either, right?
That's true. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All you have to do, fun fact, if you go into GameStop and say, I want to switch this in, they'll say, for a Nintendo Switch, right? And you'll say, yes, that's right. And then, because the Nintendo Switch costs whatever you switch it in for. Because GameStop is now also half Goodwill.
You can bring in the 2003 Pirates of the Caribbean for the original GameCube and they will give you a Nintendo Switch. Mm-hmm. That's why they named it that. That's true.
Exactly. The reason that I was mentioning this is because I do that, but I also live directly above my landlord who has a newborn baby. And
you're kidding. Wait, are you serious?
Yes, I'm dead serious. And so it's very hard for me to find the proper time, in quotes, to jump up and down doing that jump rope game if I want to, because I'm like, well, I like the idea of this because it's something that I can't excuse myself from doing as just being a little active for the day, like, because I do a lot of video editing right now. It's something that quite literally gets me to stand up and move around for a second.
Yeah.
On top of that though, there's a baby right below me that, although I'm only like 130 pounds, You can hear every single time I hit the floor, and I feel bad every time. It's like I'll go up and I'll think I'm doing something right for myself, and then I'll hit the ground and I'll think, oh, this is awful. I'm making that baby have a hard day's night right now. So I can't find the middle ground.
So what is the answer?
Oh man, I understand not wanting to go outside, especially for like where Will and I live, where it's like cold days.
Yeah, we live in two of some of the coldest states.
I get that. What I would say is in afternoon times, there's like a certain window where it's a little bit not really your fault if above their head you're interfering with their day. I would say as long as it's not like very early morning and like past 10 your time.
Yeah, I would say like 10 to 5 p.m. That's like your sweet spot of like, well, they are also living upstairs. They are living their lives. I mean, 100 times in a row, three times a day of just like stomping your 330-pound person on the floor does sound a little bit harsh, really, any time of day. And I also really hate the idea of grabbing my rope, getting in my car, and driving 3 minutes to... I've got it. Here, instead of driving to the park, you jump rope to the park.
Yes!
I think you start making... You ditch the car, you start walking to work, you start walking to school, whatever you're doing, and instead of walking, you jump rope the whole way there, like playing hopscotch.
That is a really, really good answer. I had a follow-up really good answer as well. So, I really like Will's. Use it as your mode of transportation to wherever you are going actively. If you are not going anywhere and you have to stay inside and they have to stay inside, let's say that is the case. What you do is at a certain time, timer goes off on your phone. You say, oh, it's time to jump that rope. You go downstairs, you knock on the downstairs neighbor's door and you say, all right, for let's give me like 20 minutes, half an hour, whatever. You go live up in my apartment. I'll be down here. So then you just jump rope in their apartment. You're not messing with their ceiling. Baby's not getting any interference upstairs. And you both consensually don't steal anything from each other every time this happens.
I am a single man living in a one-bedroom apartment, but I did buy a baby crib so that you could bring your baby upstairs and put it there while I jump rope down in your apartment. And I'm also going to continue doing this trading with all of the floors below me until I'm on the first floor so that only the utility man in the boiler room is bothered, you know?
At that
point, even then, I do switch with him as well. Utility man can go in the first floor apartment.
At that point, like running up and down the stairs to other people's apartments is pretty much the exercise.
Jump rope down the stairs. Jump rope up and down the stairs. I like that. Oh, maybe you have an elevator in your building. You can just continue to hit the bottom and the top floors and just do jump rope in the elevator.
I am terrified of anybody that jumps at all in an elevator.
Okay, do it when other people aren't in it. But here's what I'm saying. You measure how much it sways. You put like your camera on there and you see how much it sways, right? And then like after time goes on and like maybe you've reached whatever goal you're trying to reach, maybe like you won't sway it as much and you can see it in the shots you make by going on the same elevator and jumping on it 300 times per day. So our recommendation, just to be clear and concise, our recommendation for you is to jump 300 times per day in your apartment elevator.
Yes, that is a great answer.
Which just puts a great cap on this episode. Guys, thank you so much for being here. We really appreciate it. It's been a great time. I've had fun. Zane, have you had fun?
I've had too much fun.
All right, well, if you haven't had fun, just keep it to yourself next time. My name is Will Palumbo.
My name is Zane Shaw.
This has been Save Your Bacon, guys. Thank you so much for being here. We'll see you very soon. Take it easy, and if it's easy, take it twice.